Today we're going to create a mashup, a fun and adventurous way to make something fresh out of something stale.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're gonna stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Pope Benedict's charge that at times it felt like the Lord was sleeping prompted a response from God himself Wednesday. The Heavenly Father parted the skies to address the criticism, telling a throng of ecstatic onlookers, quote, "I've found that some people, and I'm not going to name any names here, are really into the idea of being the Pope, but when it comes to the actual day-to-day grind of poping, it's not for them. We took a chance with this guy. What are you going to do?" God finished by expressing interest in a new pope who is a self-starter and a social media rock star.
Snowflakes rolling over my ear, goose-pumping liver. If I'm hungry at 4:30 in the morning, Pink Dot will deliver. And I'm oh so tired of you pushing that thorny crown down under my head so hard. My knees are 2 inches in the ground.
Benedict XVI left the Vatican on Thursday pledging unconditional obedience to whoever succeeds him to guide the Roman Catholic Church. The first pope in six centuries to step down had a busy last day, saying goodbye to cardinals and staff. He left the Vatican on Thursday evening in a white Italian Air Force helicopter, which circled the Vatican City and flew over the Colosseum and other landmarks. Just before takeoff, the pontiff sent his final tweet saying, "Thank you for your love and support. May you always experience the joy that comes from putting Christ at the center of your lives." He'll spend the first part of his retirement in the papal summer residence, Castel Gandolfo, a complex of villas with lush gardens and lakeside views. Locals gathered in the square there outside the palace with banners and balloons to welcome his arrival. Benedict will stay until April while renovations are completed on a convent inside the Vatican that will be his new home. For the first time in history, there'll be a reigning pope and a former pope living side by side.
And I said, God damn, God damn that Bible pushing man.
methods are unorthodox, but Father Alvarez in North Mexico has decided to give his parishioners what they want. Religion mixed with entertainment. His robe has images of comic book superheroes like Superman and Batman, mainly to entertain local children during Mass. And then there's the holy water, dispensed using a water gun. He's been a priest for 14 years, and in that time, as well as using a water gun to bless young people with holy water, he's also sold donuts and helped to build several local churches. Just to be clear, these special methods are mainly used for children's masses. He conducts them in the more routine way for mums, dads, and more mature parishioners.
You Catholic, I'm Holy Ghost Funky Gut Bucket Baptist.
And I said, God damn, God damn that Bible pushing man. God damn, God damn, God damn.
It wasn't God they were concerned with on Parliament Hill today. Question period took a turn after the Quebec government used an unusual scenario as the premise for a disaster planning exercise.
On behalf of concerned Canadians everywhere, Mr. Speaker, I want to ask the Minister of Foreign Affairs, is he working with his American counterparts to develop an international zombie strategy so that a zombie invasion does not turn into a zombie apocalypse?
I want to say categorically to this member and through him to all Canadians that under the leadership of this Prime Minister, Canada will never become a safe haven for zombies ever.
Yeah. I guess now we can all sleep well.
What happens when the world gets taken over by zombies? Oh, I'll tell you, I thought long and hard about that. You got all them TV dinners down there. As long as Brandon stops eating all the brownies at. Hey, my kids are going to come back from playing one day, found out I already barricaded the house without them before the zombies come. I tell you, don't even bother putting a barricade up because Jeffy would still get in. Hey, he's the other day. I see him down here in the storm drain. I says, what the hell are you doing down the storm drain? He says, I'm looking for the teenage turtles. I says, Jeffy, I hope you find that clown from It. He's a clown from It is afraid of running into Jeffy. Jeffy knows the clown from It's fears. When the zombies come, we're going to need that good camping equipment like we have down Ohio Pile. What do you mean you left it down Rezepniak's house? All of it? Jeez, that's gone. Forget it. Jeez, they probably sold it for a case of beer by now. No, he ain't going down to live in Monroeville Mall. Jeez, I'd be coming up with survival plans and Deb would be shoving Yankee candles in my face for me to smell them. That Century 3 Mall, that's already been taken over by zombies. I'll tell you, if we can get in a boat on a river, we'd be safe. Oh, them locks didn't stop Bruce Willis' striking distance. Went right over him. Saved Sarah Parker's Jessica. Take your car. Rick, I don't even trust your car to get us down Big Lots. You know, when the zombie starts surrounding the car, I want to be protected by a little bit more than a wet cardboard. Get a helicopter? Well, who the hell's gonna fly it, Linda? You. Oh, yeah, back in high school, I seen you derail the Christmas train down the mall. Kids was jumping off like it was The Fugitive. Guy from KB Toys come running out, giving all the kids blankets. Had a candlelight vigil over Wicks and Sticks. Piano and organ store was playing nothing but sad hymns all week. Don Cannon come out and did the story. Don't you remember that? Hey, Brandon, we can use that ninja sword I got you down the flea market. I mean, the one I'm gonna get you down the flea market when Mom and I says you're old enough. First thing I gotta do is take out Tom. Oh, I don't care if he's a zombie or not, I gotta take out Tom. You think I'm gonna be denied that privilege? It's like that Walking Dead show. There's only one leader, one Rick, and I'm him. So Rick, you're gonna have to be T-Dog, Shane, or Lori. The only character that's worth anything on that show is Daryl. Let's make a whole show called Daryl. You can cut out that Tracy Chapman with the sword girl, Wilford Brimley on one leg, cut them out of the show. Rick, if you were the leader of the group, we'd be holed up down in Golden Corrals. The zombies be dipping you in that chocolate fountain. Dude, I can't imagine a Rick zombie. The way that guy eats, jeez, you'd take out McKee's rocks in an hour. Deb, you're gonna kill zombies. Jeez, you freak out when a stink bug lands in your hair. I mean, getting a paper towel, getting it out of your hair, flushing it down the toilet, went up and worst your hair 3 times. I'll tell you, I might want Jeffy on the team. Wait, you ever see that kid climb? Jeez, he's better than that kid from Who's Eating Gilbert's Grape. My ultimate zombie team, Snake Eyes, Andrew McCutcheon, and Pat Morita. If he's still alive. He could come back as a zombie, though, so I'd probably keep him on there anyways. Imagine you sitting there and a zombie Pat Morita come out. Yes, Jessica, we're still going to church during the apocalypse. Probably even more often. And CCD, ain't get out of that. Well, how do you know back team won't work on zombie bites? No one ever tried it.
We're going to turn now to some homemade video raising questions about airport security rules and common sense. It happened in St. Louis with a family heading to Disney World. Their 3-year-old daughter is confined to a wheelchair. You may not believe what happened to her at the security check when she got there. And ABC's Gio Benitez is here with their story. Good morning, Gio.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Robin. So nice to be here with you. Right now, the question, was the TSA just protecting our skies or did agents go way too far? It's the kind of story that has people shaking their heads. And this is why. Listen, as little Lucy says something, it's hard to imagine any 3-year-old saying.
We just run over that. I've been waiting for this ride first before you do anything. That's my car.
What made the toddler so distraught, her parents say, was this.
Yeah, it's illegal to do anything.
A run-in with TSA screeners at Missouri's Lambert St. Louis International Airport as the family was heading to Orlando on vacation February 8th.
Okay. To me, it was pretty offensive because I was really tuned in when she said that immediately. I'm like, okay, hold on. Something doesn't seem right. So I did tell her I was going to wait because I was going to grab my phone.
Annie Schulte says it all started when TSA agents asked to pat down Lucy, who is disabled, and to screen her wheelchair. Schulte wanted to tape it, but an agent didn't like that.
I don't allow anyone to touch my little daughter without being able to record it.
It bothers me that my daughter was singled out specifically because she's in a wheelchair.
But the family says the final straw was this moment when agents refused to return Lucy's stuffed animal, Lammy, even though it had already been scanned.
You can get Lammy in a minute, okay, baby? You can get Lammy in just a minute.
Don't press a man.
But you're never gonna last for long. Don't press a man.
Don't press a man.
Say now you're trying to keep me down. Don't press a man.
Don't press a man.
But you're never gonna last for long. Don't press a man. Cause we fighting all night long. While struggle goes on. We
fighting
all night long. While you're sleeping, the struggle goes on.
Well, drug testing for welfare recipients may seem like a good idea, but is it legal? CNBC's Seema Modi is back. She's got that story and the rest of the day's news. Hello again.
Hello again. The answer is no, Larry. A federal court says Florida cannot enforce a law requiring drug tests as part of the application process for welfare. Governor Rick Scott issued an executive order in 2011, but was never able to enforce it. The courts say it is an unreasonable search.
How could you resist what your conscience is saying? Why don't you retire from lying and cheating? Don't you realize that Jah is on my side? You just mash up me frying pan. Don't press a man.
Don't press a man.
Try to drive me out of my land. Don't press a man.
Don't press a man.
Say that you mash up me frying pan.
there's a man
down press a man
trying to drive me out of my land. Down press a man. But we fighting for equal rights and justice while you sleeping. Say that we taking care of business. We fighting for equal rights and justice while you sleeping. Say that we taking care of business.
Some news from the UK. Retired senior military officers have welcomed a statement by the Defence Secretary that his department should not face any more cuts in spending. Philip Hammond has said the Chancellor should cut welfare spending before thinking of further reductions in the budget for the armed forces. But there's been anger among some Liberal Democrats who want to prevent a renewed squeeze on benefits.
How could you resist what your conscience is saying? Why don't you retire from lying and cheating?
Police hope new crime prediction software will help them outsmart criminals. The system forecasts locations where crimes are likely to occur down to 500 square foot areas. It works by plugging crime stats into an algorithm. Officers will patrol predicted hotspots in between other calls.
Don't press a man. Where you are go run, you are go run to the rocks. But Jaja are go find you. Don't press a man, right? Your days are numbered, you are going to run to the rocks. But Jaja I go find you. You're trying to keep me down. Don't press a man,
don't press a man.
But you're never gonna last for long. Don't press a man,
don't press a man.
Say that you mash up me frying pan. Don't press a man.
Don't press a man.
Try to drive me out of my land. Don't press a man.
Don't press a man.
See that you trying to keep me down. Don't press a man.
Don't press a man.
But you never gonna last for long. Don't press a man.
Don't press a man.
See that you mash up me frying pan.
A Lewis County man took justice into his own hands after a burglar barged into his home.
The Chehalis homeowner was sleeping at the time, quickly grabbed his gun and fired. And tonight the sheriff says he did the right thing. Sunday morning, the 24-year-old man woke up to an intruder right outside of his house. He called 911 and then he grabbed a gun for protection. But before cops could get there, the intruder came inside. He closed his bedroom door to protect his wife. Then the homeowner fired a shot. Apparently, the man kept charging at him, so the two got into a fight. The homeowner was able to hold him down until deputies arrived. Lewis County Sheriff Steve Mansfield today came out and said this is a case is textbook example of what a homeowner should do if a burglar breaks in.
We live in a pretty dark world, folks, and you can't depend on your law enforcement and your government to protect you in every aspect of your life.
The sheriff does emphasize that deadly force should only be used when a life is threatened and says it shouldn't be used when an intruder is outside your home. Neighbors say it was appropriate for the situation.
I have mixed feelings when it comes to gun control and things like that, but I feel in this case it was warranted. The gentleman did everything he could.
The suspect has been identified as 51-year-old Brian Creed. Some deputies say they're familiar with. Investigators say Creed could have been under the influence of meth at the time of the home invasion.
Disaster emergency ordinance in Guntersville is causing some controversy. The city council is considering a new ordinance that gives the city more power in the event of a major disaster. As Way 31's Tim Reed reports, part of the ordinance deals with officers possibly disarming people.
By no means is it our intent to disarm or seize anyone's firearms.
The mayor of Guntersville wants to set the record straight. A proposed disaster emergency ordinance in Guntersville is causing some controversy. Lee Dollar says part of that ordinance would give city police officers the power to disarm residents only if necessary during major disasters.
This is in there to protect public workers and any volunteers helping should someone become unruly, which can happen because emotions are high, that it would give an officer that authority. And it's only to protect people.
The city's proposed ordinance is hitting the wrong notes at the Guntersville Music Academy. Music teachers and Guntersville businessmen Keith Sullivan and Paul Landry oppose the law.
Well, it seems like an infringement on the Second Amendment. I think that's the biggest problem that I have with it.
Mayor says Guntersville needs the new law. They want a model after the city of Tuscaloosa, where it's already on the books. Dollar says it would ensure a quick response in the event of a major disaster like the April 27th, 2011 tornadoes.
We are not trying to infringe on anybody's constitutional rights.
These two disagree. They say police already have enough authority.
The law's already there. If somebody's brandishing a weapon, you can arrest him right there.
A bullet flies into a Lawrence home, and thankfully, no one was hurt, but the responsible party is raising a lot of eyebrows tonight, and that's because it wasn't really a person who pulled that trigger. Fox 25's Ted Daniel joins us now to explain. Ted.
Hi, Heather. It was a police dog, as in DOG, that fired the gun. The dog was in the process of searching for the stolen pistol in a snowbank. Somehow the canine's paw came in contact with the trigger and the weapon went off. Definitely a freak occurrence. The bullet ended up going into a home at 82 Crescent Street in Lawrence. It was 2 in the morning. The homeowners were sleeping, so luckily nobody was hurt. Investigators say 28-year-old Jose Calderon of Lawrence had buried the gun in the snow when an officer pulled over the car he was a passenger in. A specially trained Essex County police dog named Ivan was called in to search for the weapon. Ivan began pawing at the snow pile and the gun discharged.
I've been in this business for 43 years. I've seen a lot of canine, locate weapons. And this is the first time I've ever seen this happen. We were concerned that the weapon may be defective, and when we did get the weapon out of the snow, we immediately unloaded it in case it was defective. We didn't want another accidental discharge.
Police say the gun had been stolen out of Manchester, New Hampshire. Jose Calderon and the two other guys he was with face a number of charges, including unlawful possession of a firearm. Coming up new on the Fox 25 News at 10 and 11, we're going to introduce you to Ivan, the police dog who caused the gun to go off.
Good boy.
Thank you.
was once hailed as a Trooper of the Year, but the State Patrol has now fired one of its veteran officers.
King 5 first told you about the controversial case of Trooper Jeff Legger in November. Chris Ingles is live in Olympia now with an update you'll see only on King 5. Chris.
Dennis Jean, here at State Patrol headquarters, the State Patrol brass says that it has made its final decision in this case, termination. But the union says that it will fight the firing of this trooper that it says was doing nothing more than trying to save his own life. This is Trooper Jeff Logger in an aid car after a fleeing motorist ran over his foot. Now, all these months later, Trooper Logger has learned the April incident was more damaging to his career than any part of his body.
And it was determined that he fired his weapon in a situation that was inappropriate, and so he was terminated.
Groups, including the Texas ACLU, are applauding a policy change announced by the Texas Department of Public Safety. DPS Director Steve McCraw says today in Austin that the agency will no longer permit shooting at moving vehicles from helicopters.
What the fuck?
That decision follows a review of October's helicopter shooting near La Jolla. Two Guatemalan immigrants hiding in the back of a moving pickup were killed. Until today, Texas was the only southwestern border state that allowed such aerial shooting at moving vehicles.
Australian soldiers have shot dead two Afghan shepherd boys, both aged under seven. The NATO-led international force in Afghanistan says a coalition helicopter opened fire after mistaking the boys for Taliban insurgents during an operation in Uruzgan province on Thursday.
It is with deep regrets that ISAF has to inform that our forces were responsible for the unintended death of two young Afghans during an operation on the 28th of February in Uruzgan province. We take full responsibility for this tragedy.
As the Marlboro Man, because of the millions of dollars he made smuggling cigarettes across the Sahara. But in the last few months, the one-eyed Mokhtar Belmokhtar had become one of the most sought-after terrorists in the world. It was Belmokhtar who authorities say was the mastermind of the attack this January on an Algerian natural gas plant that left dozens of Westerners and at least three Americans dead. Belmokhtar had formed his own Al-Qaeda splinter group and announced he would use his wealth to finance more attacks against American and Western interests in the region and beyond. The U.S. badly wanted Belmokhtar stopped and actively helped in the search by French and African military units to find him and another top Al-Qaeda leader who was reported killed yesterday. Belmokhtar has been reported killed at least two times before in previous years, only to show up alive. But if today's reports of his death from the Chad military are confirmed, it would be a significant victory against Al-Qaeda in a part of the world where the terror group has been growing in power and menace.
If you're killing shit, you're lying to yourself, you're gonna catch hell. And if you're testing God, lying to his face, you're gonna catch hell.
President, to your question, what could you do? First of all, couldn't you just have them down here and refuse to let them leave the room until you have a deal?
Jessica, I am not a dictator. I'm the president. So ultimately, if Mitch McConnell or John Boehner say, we need to go to catch a plane, I can't have Secret Service block the doorway, right? So
I understand.
And I know that this has been some of the conventional wisdom that's been floating around Washington, that somehow, even though most people agree that I'm being reasonable, that most people agree I'm presenting a fair deal, the fact that they don't take it means that I should somehow, do a Jedi mind meld with these folks and convince them to do what's right.
Scientists at the Duke University Medical Center have successfully conducted a mind meld experiment.
A Jedi mind meld.
That linked the brains of two rats in different countries via the internet and got them to perform identical tasks. Adding to its science fiction feel, the advance in direct brain-to-brain communication could lay the foundation for what neurobiologist Miguel Nicolis, who led the research, calls an organic computer in which multiple brains are linked,
a Jedi mind meld,
to solve problems solo brains can't, reports Reuters. In this clip, you can see a rat in the United States responding to the brain waves of a rat situated in Brazil and mimicking its behavior. Why should we be concerned about the implications of this study? Because it was funded by a $26 million DARPA grant. DARPA, of course, being an agency of the US Defense Department. And of course, DARPA's main area of research funding over the last few years has been focused around building robots that can hunt down and even kill, quote, non-cooperative humans. The robots developed by Boston Dynamics will be ready for use by 2014. This is the cheetah robot that can outrun Usain Bolt. This is the LS3 robot, which is designed to autonomously track people through rugged terrain. This is the big dog robot that can recover its balance when kicked. And here's the pet man robot that can balance itself as it walks. Responding to DARPA's funding of these new programs, Professor of Robotics Noel Sharkey said it's unfortunate that these robots are, quote, going to be used to kill people. Ronald Arkin, a robotics expert at the Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta, wrote in a study commissioned by the US Army, quote, the trend is clear. Warfare will continue and autonomous robots will ultimately be deployed in its conduct. The pressure of an increasing battlefield tempo is forcing autonomy further and further toward the point of robots making that final lethal decision, he predicted, adding that such a scenario will be in place by 2020. So, within a decade, will we see armies of robots linked via mind meld technology,
a Jedi mind meld,
patrolling the battlefields, or even patrolling our streets? Experts at the University of Cambridge are currently conducting research into the extinction-level risks posed to humanity by artificially intelligent robots. And top futurists like Ray Kurzweil and Bill Joy have predicted that the entire planet will be run by an artificially intelligent system by the end of the century, and that most humans will become superfluous. While CNN says that we're all going to have a brain chip that controls our behavior within 75 years. Commenting on the mind meld study,
a Jedi mind meld,
one scientist who asked not to be named said, quote, having non-human primates communicate brain to brain raises all sorts of ethical concerns. Reading about putting things in animals' brains and changing what they do, people rightly get nervous. Envisioning battalions of animal soldiers or even human soldiers whose brains are remotely controlled by others.
A Jedi mind meld.
So while we're still some way off a Skynet Terminator-style system, let there be no doubt that the US government is driving scientific research towards a future where robots connected via wireless brain links, as primitively demonstrated in the rat study, will form a Borg army which will be used to hunt down and kill terrorists and whoever else the state deems to be a threat.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
Sources at the video streaming service Netflix reported today that they had sent local man Shane Fowler a personal message earlier just checking to see if everything was okay after the 31-year-old watched an entire season of the FX program Sons of Anarchy in a single viewing session.
Well, we happened to notice that Shane had been sitting in front of his laptop and had burned through all 13 episodes of the first season of Sons of Anarchy, so we thought maybe we could send him a note and just sort of make sure he was doing all right, or if he needed someone to talk to or something.
Netflix says the message, which Fowler received minutes after he finished viewing the season one finale of the motorcycle gang drama, was just a way for the company to see if there was anything they could do for their longtime subscriber.
I mean, we do this stuff all the time. Just last year, Mike Rawlson from Bartlesville, Oklahoma, watched all four seasons of The Tudors after his wife left him. We were there for him. We just like to check in on our customers from time to time.
Jesus Christ. Looks like Shane's already five episodes into season two. Hey guys, can we just get someone over there?
I love apathetic people. I really do. People are so hard on lazy, apathetic people. Even I have been at times, but I've seen the error of my ways. I love apathetic people because society needs people, needs warm bodies to churn through its gears and shit all over. A certain percentage have to be shit all over, right? That's what we're taught. That's how it works. There are winners and there are losers. And everything is gonna suck for the losers. And I don't want losers who are trying hard and care about everything. That makes me feel bad to see someone's life suck when they don't want it to suck. So instead, we should just use the apathetic people. They don't care what's going on. They're proud of it. You try to bring up an issue of any depth or any significance, and they go, man, I don't even care. I don't give a f***. I don't give a s***. I don't give a third thing that's vulgar. In a recent survey, 42% of America said they're even slightly invested in what's happening around the world. 5% said they're not concerned at all. And a full 53% of people didn't care enough to even answer the survey. And I made up those numbers, but they still piss me off. So let's put it in the law. If you don't care what the f*** is going on, then you're one of the people that should get f***ed on. I would love that. I'm tired of caring because the truth is, I'm exhausted. I don't want to be yelling. I want to be sitting at home on a couch in a goddamn Snuggie watching a Discovery Channel video of an antelope just hopping with little baby antelopes just following after just antelopes just hopping, but I can't. I have to tour the country screaming about all the poor people getting shit on. But if the people getting shit on were the apathetic people, I'd be able to take a break. We all would. Picture it. Someone who cared would walk up to you and be like, oh, it's horrible. The bottom 40% of the country don't even live in houses. They live inside jungle gyms where they have to fend off kids who just want to play. And then I'd be like, but wait, they're all... those people living in the jungle gyms, they're all apathy mongers, right? Apathetites? Right? So f*** them. Why should we care about them when they don't even care about them? It's not like they're going to say anything. It's not like they're going to march against it. What do we want? Don't give a f***. When do we want it? You tell us! So every time you meet someone who's apathetic, you give them a hug. You give them a hug and you say, thank you. You are one less person I have to care about.
Hey, it's all going to work out. Here's sports.
We've been putting aspartame in some of our dairy beverages for quite a while now, and that includes chocolate milk, strawberry milk. And for the past 3 years, the dairy industry has been lobbying the FDA to basically allow them to stop having to label their products that indicate that there are artificial sweeteners in the drinks. Now, it's really, really interesting that they've been doing that, and so far it seems like the FDA has said no to them, but who knows what the future holds.
Yeah. Here's when I get scared, when I hear about companies lobbying the FDA, right? It's pretty important that we keep our food and our drugs safe, right? But when people have a profit to make and they want it a little less safe, that's when we're in a world of trouble. Now, if the FDA listens to them, so far the jury's out on this. But if you know the original story of how aspartame was approved in the first place, the guy who was running the company who got it approved, you might remember his name. Donald Rumsfeld. Not kidding. Okay. It literally, and I was told about that by our audience, mm-hmm. because I used to drink Diet Coke back in the day, and aspartame is in Diet Coke. And, I'm a big Coke fan, and I've drank Coke my whole life, etc. But I got to keep it real with you guys. So first of all, they told me about that, so then I went and researched it, and it's true, right? As soon as I saw Don Rumsfeld had them approve aspartame in a super sketchy way, I was like, I'm out. I immediately stopped drinking Diet Coke. I was like, I'd rather be fat than drink aspartame, right?
Mm-hmm. How about, and I know that this is a really difficult thing to ask people to do, but how about just drink water? I know water's boring. I know that people don't love it. Have some iced tea that's unsweetened. Have some freaking water. Like, do you
know?
I know. It's so tough. Or like, look, here's the thing, right? I have soda once in a while too, but I have soda as like a treat, like a rare thing. Like, I don't have to have it with every single meal. You see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. when we talk about our obesity epidemic, I'm not saying this is a quick fix because obesity is obviously extremely complex, but people would lose so much weight if they stopped drinking their calories.
Yeah, no, I hear you. We've talked about the big gulps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, nobody needs 16 ounces, let alone 32 ounces. Maybe 16, okay. 32, 64? What are you, a f***ing elephant?
Yeah, all about moderation.
I love you. I mean, look, glass house, I'm just saying. You don't need 64 ounces. That's insane. You have no idea how much calories you're drinking in there. There's no need for that. And look, I'm telling you, I'm guilty. I love Coke, and I drink it all the time. I used to drink 3, 4, 5 a day. I brought that way down, okay?
Jeez.
Okay, I brought it way down. But maybe it's because when I was younger that I drank so much that my body adjusted to that and made me, that's why I can't lose weight. I don't know, right? But anyway, I drink a lot less now, but it's anything that's artificial, it's going to do more damage to you.
It's going to actually make you crave food more. It's going to make you want those
empty
calories.
That's what they say about aspartame.
Yeah, aspartame does that.
And you know, and look, again, it's anecdotal, and I don't know if it's true, but I also felt that when I was drinking Diet Coke, that I would feel hungrier.
Yeah, and it's not anecdotal.
And I would feel more irritable.
So that's anecdotal because you're mentioning that that's what you would feel, but there's actual data indicating that this is in fact true. It does make you hungrier. It makes you want to eat more, which is why diet sodas, even if you go to nutritionists or whatever, they tell you, no, don't drink the diet stuff. Have no soda, have water, have iced tea, have coffee, but that's it.
Yeah, well, I've switched to coffee a lot, but that's a different kind of drug.
Yeah, it is.
All love.
The FDA released a report today claiming that the majority of peanut butter sold in the United States contains trace amounts of rat feces, adding, quote, "But life can be kind of weird like that sometimes." In the wake of this news, consumers across the nation spoke with The Onion to share their reactions.
One second you're living your life like any other day, and then life throws you a curveball, and bam, your peanut butter's got rat in it. What are you gonna do? Win some, you lose some.
Yeah, I would totally pack peanut butter sandwiches in my kids' lunches. I mean, that's just life. You've got to live with the fear and take things as they come.
I mean, if you really think about it, aren't we all just on this blue spinning rock, experiencing all this together? Why not just sit back and enjoy the ride, you know? Rat dung, no rat dung. What's the difference?
I don't eat no meat, no dairy, no sweets. Only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school, my household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu. No fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes. Only ganja, fresh squeezed juice from oranges. Exercising daily to stay healthy. And I rarely drink water out the tap cause it's filthy.
Lentil soup is mental fruit and ginger root is good for the youth. Fresh vegetable with them Italian stew. Sweet yam fries with the green hallelujah. Careful how you season and prepare your foods, cause you don't wanna lose vitamins and minerals, and that's the jewel.
Nuts and olive oil could be the key to healthy eating. According to a study in the New England Journal of Medicine, people who stick to a Mediterranean diet can cut their chance of developing heart-related problems. The diet uses the oil as a side dish to fruits, vegetables, and nuts. But researchers did say while this diet is good for heart health, it did not seem to promote weight loss.
Life brings life, it's valuable. So I eat what comes from the ground, it's natural. Let your food be your medicine, no accelerant. Strictly herb generates from the sun. Cause I got melanin and drink water. 8 glasses a day, cause that's what they say.
They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy. Cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves. They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy. Cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves.
We're here with Mitch Johnson with Burke Animal Health, and we've been talking about Zilmax over the last couple of days. And Zilmax, of course, a product, feed additive used in the feed yards. And I wonder if you could just give a kind of real quick rundown on just what Zilmax is, first off.
Sure, John. Zilmax is a feed supplement which cattle feeders utilize for about the last 20 days of the feeding period for finished cattle. And when those cattle arrive to the packer, there are four cattle feeders selling based on carcass value. And so our database of trials with almost 50,000 head of cattle, we see an average response in beef steers of an additional 33 pounds of hot carcass weight for that cattle feeder when those cattle arrive to the packer. And that can realize an economic return for the cattle feeder of upwards of $30 per head. That can be achieved in roughly 3 to 4 weeks' time. Additional profit opportunity for the cattle feeder.
You talked quite a bit about some of the benefits down the chain as well, as benefits to the packer and beyond. I wonder if you could just kind of summarize some of that, economic returns that the packer sees as they fabricate those cattle compared with similar cattle not treated with Zilmax.
You bet. Well, Zilmax is a technology that we feel delivers value from the cattle feeder through the packer all the way to the consumer.
Beef, what a relief. When will this poisonous product cease? This is another public service announcement. You can believe it or you can doubt it. Let us begin now with the cow. The way it gets to your plate and how. The cow doesn't grow fast enough for man. So through his greed, he makes a faster plan. He has drugs to make the cow grow quicker. Through the stress, the cow gets sicker. 21 different drugs are pumped into the cow in one big lump. So just before it dies, it cries in the slaughterhouse full of germs and flies. Off with the head. They pass. attack it, drain it, and cart it. And there it is in your local supermarket, red and bloody, a corpse neatly packed. And you wonder about heart attacks? Come on now, man, let's be for real. You all what you eat is the way I feel. But the Food and Drug Administration will tell you meat is the perfect combination. See, cows live under fear and stress, trying to think what's gonna happen next. Fear and stress can become a part of you, in your cells and blood, this is true. So when the cow is killed, believe it, you preserve those cells, you freeze it, thaw it out with the blood and season it. Then you sit down and begin eating it. In your body, its structure becomes your structure, all the fear and stress of another. Any drug is addictive by any name, even drugs in meat, they are the same. The FDA has America strung out on drugs and beef, no doubt. So if you think that what I say is a bunch of crock, tell yourself you're gonna try and stop eating meat, and you'll see you can't compete. It's the number one drug on the street, not crack, cause that was made for just black, but ground beef for all American teeth. Life brings life, death brings death. Keep on eating the dead and what's left. Absolute disease and negative. Read the book How to Eat to Live by Elijah Muhammad. It's a brown paperback for anybody, either white or black. See, how many cows must be pumped up fatter? How many rats gotta fall in the batter? How many chickens that each you eat? How much high blood pressure you get from pig feet? See, you'll consume, the FDA can care less. They'll sell you donkey meat and say it's fresh.
And finally, new rule, if you're one of the millions of Californians who voted against labeling genetically modified foods, you can't complain when it turns out there's horse meat in your hamburger and your sushi is made out of lost cats and condoms. You said you didn't want to know. Now lap that shit up. Yeah, it's been big news the last couple of weeks that the food supply is not what it appears to be. I hate to break it to you hot cuisiners, but did you know that your Chilean sea bass is neither Chilean nor bass nor from the sea? It's koi from the pond out front that the valet guys piss in. And your mahi-mahi is really made of mercury-drenched bottom feeders like tilefish that squirm along the ocean floor, eat feces, and occasionally provide legal representation for Donald Trump. And if you like sushi, you really don't know what you're eating, because those fish are mislabeled 74% of the time, which is really scary, because I can deal if the tuna in my tuna roll isn't tuna, but what the f*** is the eel? And then there's IKEA. Now, I didn't even know you could eat there. But you can. And this week we found out that their Swedish meatballs are a little too sea biscuity. Challenging all of our cherished notions about the integrity of food served at furniture stores. Sure, I was there buying a 40-buck prefabricated bookshelf made of compressed sawdust and vinyl, but I didn't think they'd try to sell me something cheap. All of which made me think about last year, when Californians rejected the GMO law, Prop 37, the one that said if food was genetically modified, it should just say so on the label. To which people said, no thanks. GMO? More like TMI. You know, folks, if we really don't want to know, why don't we take all the labels off entirely and replace them with just sugary shit, salty shit, and cool ranch shit with extra shit. And this is why I find it so strange that the idea of eating horse meat is freaking people out. It's not as if horses are more cuddly than cows. I mean, true, they'll let you sit on their backs, but cows allow you to yank on their titties. I'm just saying, if you're willing to eat an animal that'll let you get to second base, you'll eat anything. Especially when you consider that 50 other countries require GMO labeling, including most of Europe, Japan, Australia, India, Saudi Arabia, China. That's right, China, a country that puts melamine, a chemical fire retardant, in their baby formula. Which sounds irresponsible, but come on, when was the last time you saw a Chinese baby catch on fire? But hey, let's look at the silver lining. It's actually a good thing Americans don't care what they put in their mouth, because in the future, thanks to overpopulation and overfishing and global warming and Chris Christie, we're running out of the food we do like to eat. You know, one reason why there's so much fish mislabeling now is because they don't have the heart to tell you the fish you like are gone. 85% of the world's fisheries are either fully exploited, overexploited, or collapsed. You know where fishermen can no longer find cod? Off of Cape Cod. That's like going to Hooters and finding out all the waitresses are flat-chested. If we don't fix how we grow food and don't stop turning the oceans into a carbon sink for coal, we're going to have to learn to eat all the few gnarly, maggoty things that can survive mankind. Your grandkids will grow up dreaming of getting some horse meat while they munch down on their McPlankton sandwich.
But don't worry, we're all going to be living on nothing soon enough. And, you know, with a little bit of help from our friends, maybe, just maybe. I don't know. I have no idea.
You reap what you sow. And just like us, some trees have seeds that are gender-specific. For instance, you can't just plant an apple tree seed in the dirt and expect it to work because there's male and female. And the proper union has to be cultivated. And just like them, Johnny can't just roam these city streets spreading his apple seeds and hoping that they make it. And just because he learned how to convince lonely women to get naked, then con them out of using the condom and losing the same way he found them, it only means that his seeds are going to have a hard time trying to live. And John, I know in your mind you think you're big, but your physical form would have to be deaf, dumb, and blind, and never mind the fact that an Oedipus Rex often wrecks city streets. And sometimes estranged children catch up with deadbeats, because you reap what you sow. And in the best case scenario, they come back donning big names like Keisha Cole and LeBron James, but if she can't sing, or he ain't got game, or there's nobody in the community to help her with her homework, or him with his book report to cultivate their brain, they just might resort to a life of crime. And in such cases, instead of coming back donning big names, they come back donning big 45s and 9s. And then you're liable to find that the prime reason for the destruction of black civilization is the fact that black fathers are becoming extinct. And my father's father barely knew how to locate his son, but he damn sure knew how to find a drink. And if you were looking for my father, the best place to start is where I wasn't now. That doesn't mean I didn't have a dad. It simply means that my dad's name was Mom. And she worked overtime trying to find a kind of life support called child support. And while he thought it was a good idea to lay down, apparently he felt a diametric opposite way about staying around and handling his business. But then you reap what you sow, and who knows? Maybe I could have been a lawyer or a dentist, but instead I branched out into a Conan the Destroyer-type menace. But that was back when I was a sapling, but I've grown a lot since then, but I still spent some unnecessary nights in jail cells before it was finished. Now raise your hand if you're not surprised. In fact, why don't you raise your hand if your father wasn't quite a man in your eyes? And I met my father like 5 times since I've been an adult, and each time I look into his eyes and fail to recognize the type of resemblance that my children recognize between them and I. Which is a shame, because their great-grandfather, their grandfather, and I all gave them that last name, but apparently only one of us cared enough about his children to put them first. Them other cats must have been like, yo, I'm going to plant my seeds in the earth because I can. But if you don't remember anything else I said tonight, remember this. If you can't expect your children to consider you a father, then you must be absolutely out of your mind if you ever expect anyone else in this world to consider you a man.
Now, go find the others.
Com.
Don't blow it. Keep it simple. Count your money.